As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show. It is Smoky September 12th. What a week. What a couple weeks it has been. It's actually been kind of a sombering experience this last couple weeks, hasn't it? It's not all bad. It's a little bit bittersweet. This week, I personally have witnessed some of the best of humanity and some of the worst of humanity. And if you haven't took time to stop and pray for Oregon this week, I got to tell you, I don't know what it's going to take to get you to open up your eyes. There are so many people suffering and hurting. So many people out there right now that have lost everything. And it seems like 2020 just keeps on hitting us, right? So first we had COVID and the economic collapse because of COVID. And everything's just kind of up in the air right now. And then we have these forest fires. And these fires are devastating. We haven't seen fires like this in centuries. And it's been heartbreaking to watch families lose everything. And then it's been really inspiring to watch certain communities rally and stand up for each other and be willing to stop whatever they're doing, drop whatever they're doing at a moment's notice, and go aid these people in need, go help rescue them, evacuate them for their communities that are being ravaged by these fires, hook up trailers and make dangerous trips up into the mountains amongst these infernos and save animals and people. Help perfect strangers, people they've never met before. They do this because it's the right thing to do, not because they're expecting anything in return. They don't even need a thank you. They saw a need and they went into action. And if that does not resonate with what this week means to us and what September 11th has meant to us for the last 19 years, I tell you what, there was a resemblance of that American hope and unity. I've witnessed that this week in Oregon as my fellow patriots, my friends, the agriculture community, the deplorables, the rednecks, the country bumpkins, when people in the rural community stood up and went to rescue others and did what had to be done, it resembled the way our country united after 9/11, 19 years ago. It's really interesting to watch how these things play out. And like I said, I've seen the best of people this week, and I've seen the worst of people. We have the predators, the people that are seeking to take advantage of others, the people that will exploit the situation and are only in it for themselves. We've seen people go up to places like Detroit and Mill City and Molalla, these places that have been torn apart by fires and evacuated, and so many homes lost, livelihoods lost, businesses lost. And you have the scum of the earth, the absolute lowest of lows, sneaking into these areas and looting anything that's left over, robbing people blind. And those people, in my opinion, and I'm going to get a little harsh here, but in my opinion, those people should be shot on sight. If they get caught, we should just eliminate them because they don't offer anything to society. They don't offer anything to Oregon. They don't offer anything to the United States. Like I said, they're predators and they're preying on this emergency, this disaster, only looking to better their own lives and take advantage of people's ruin and hurt. And we don't need people like that in our society. And I think that's one of the reasons why society has gotten to the point that it has. I think that's one of the reasons why we see these Antifa members and BLM members that have been destroying our cities for the last 110 days or whatever it is now. There's no consequences for them. They don't appreciate anything. Nobody's telling them, no, they can't do this. They go out every single night and they cause havoc and, you know, they completely vandalize and terrorize our city. They burn things down and nothing bad happens to them. In fact, they're supported a lot of times by our elected officials. The police are told basically that they're untouchables. Leave them alone. Stand down. Don't enforce the law. And so our society has been conditioned that, you know, this behavior is, you know, you and I might hate it, but there's a big portion in society that it's just the new normal, right? And people just understand, well, there's no consequences. We can do whatever we want. And the rest of society just kind of is starting to accept that. They might not like it, but they just feel like, well, what can I do about it? It's the new normal. There's going to be people that get away with stuff. And so when you have bigger situations happen and you have natural disasters like what's happened with these forest fires, those same people are going to go out and prey everywhere else and take advantage and rob and loot and steal and cause more problems and put more lives in danger. Did you know that some of these people, these Antifa members, were blocking emergency personnel from being able to respond to some of these fires and get to some of these locations to save lives? It blows my mind that we're dealing with this. I mean, honestly, can we pass a law that says, hey, if somebody's blocking the road and there's a disaster or an emergency, if there's lives in danger, and you have a group of domestic terrorists stopping you, preventing you from getting to them, can we pass a law that says that the fire trucks are just allowed to thump, 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 run right through them? Can we open up the water cannons? Can we put bigger bumpers on the ambulances and the police cars? Thump, 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 thump. I mean, would you guys mind seeing that? I won't mind seeing that. I think that'd probably give me a lot of entertainment watching some of these thugs that are constantly trying to hurt people and stop our emergency first responders from getting where they need to go. Thump, 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 thump. I'm okay. I'm okay if they get ran over. If you don't want to get ran over, get out of the way. Get out of the street. Stop blocking the emergency vehicles. It's really disgusting what these people are doing. You know, and what needs to happen, I'll tell you what needs to happen. I think what needs to happen is let's give these people what they want. You know, you got all these far-left crazies demanding that we defund the police, demanding that we disband police agencies. They don't want law enforcement around anymore. So let's give them what they're asking for like, let's say 48 hours. Let's just make it so, you know what? No law for 48 hours. And let's let the patriots loose on these terrorists. It's about time for some vigilante justice. And you might think that sounds crazy, but man, enough is enough. The people that are hurting these individuals that have lost their homes and everything they have, and then they find out that they're being violated even further and having whatever they might have left is being looted from them. I have no respect for any of these individuals anymore. I not that I had a lot of respect, but they've hit a new all-time low for me. And really, I just think it's time for us to be done with these folks. And you know, if you're out there causing the problem, if you are out there breaking the law, here's my warning to you. You better hope that the law enforcement find you and get to you before somebody else does. Because there's people that have had enough now. And I know for a fact there is people that are out hunting themselves right now. So consider yourself warned. If this is you, consider yourself warned. Now, these fires that are happening across this country, it's just, it's devastating. And you can chalk it up to a lack of leadership. I mean, seriously, Kate Brown's slow response to this emergency, it's not laughable. It's disgusting. You can look at the Democratic policies and the fact that this state has been controlled by Democrats for so many years and see the management practices in our public areas, in our timber country. You can see the difference between the private timber companies and how healthy and sustainable those forests are and how they're not as in as much threat for things like this to explode on those private companies because they're managed the right way. And then you can see our public grounds, the grounds that Oregon's responsible for, the grounds that have been directly affected because of these liberal policies that don't let them manage the forest the way they need to be managed to be healthy and safe. Now, the governor, she had the gall to stand in front of us on Thursday and say, this is a direct result of global warming. No. This is not global warming. This is a direct result of your ignorance, your mismanagement of Democratic policies that have driven this state into the ground, that have completely crushed the timber industries and the economy that flourishes when those businesses flourish. This is not global warming. And this, what happened here, this was 100% preventable had we acted sooner. But no, under Democratic leadership, they don't act. They don't think about things. And I think what's happening now, these fires, this is exactly what they're wanting. You know, COVID didn't work for them the way they were hoping. It didn't destroy the Trump administration the way they've planned. So, you know, maybe this is plan B. I'm not saying that the governor went out and lit these fires, but she definitely hasn't been very proactive in trying to put the fires out. She is very late in calling for an emergency. And she was incredibly late in giving them the resources they needed to fight these fires, deploying the guard to fight these fires. Everything about her leadership during these fires, she's either been MIA or she's made the wrong decisions, or she has obviously deliberately delayed the process, slowed things down as our communities are completely burning. If this isn't enough to make you guys realize what's going on, open your eyes and understand that we need a new direction in Oregon. We cannot be a blue state any longer. This leadership is going to get us killed. This leadership has gotten people killed already. If this example is not enough to open your eyes, what will be? You know why she was delaying things so much. She was doing everything she can to try to prevent federal aid from coming in. She'll blame the Trump administration. She'll blame the federal government, saying they should have, but they didn't. They didn't respond soon enough. They didn't give us enough. They didn't help the displaced families. But everything she did was purposeful to delay their response. And you know the people that were out there helping everybody in the canyon and everybody else whose towns are being ravished by fires? Like I said, they were people, so many of them, they might be living month to month themselves. They might be struggling themselves. But when their fellow citizens needed some help, they stopped what they were doing. They were willing to give the shirt off their back and they went to help. Those are the people that are responding right now. Those are the people that have saved lives, saved animals, saved property, fought the fires. Those are the volunteers that have spent countless hours protecting others, protecting this state. Where is Kate Brown and her lackeys? Stick with us. We'll be right back. Don't turn that dial.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and it's great to be with you on this smoky Saturday afternoon. And man, the smoke has actually started to get to me. You know, the first week or so, or first few days anyway, I was feeling okay, and I'm out there doing what I can to continue going to work and making sure my responsibilities are taken care of. And also volunteering in the community and helping out where I could help out, wherever I was needed, I was willing to go. And the first few days, it didn't bug me a whole lot. I noticed, you know, I could be out in it during the day, and I was okay, and I didn't realize, you know, how nasty it was. At nighttime when I went to bed, though, that's when it would hit me. That's when I feel like I was hacking up a lung. And it's just been dense and thick here, and when you're out there walking around, you see all that ash floating around, and you know that, you know, you're sucking all that stuff right into your lungs. So the long lasting health effects of this, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see how they tie this to COVID also, and will this make the COVID reality you know, a little bit more severe? Will we see more people coming down with different respiratory issues because of the toxicity in the air and what they've been breathing this last couple weeks? And this smoke is here to stay for a while. I think it's going to be a good couple weeks before things really clear up. And that's providing they can get these fires under control. So thank God that the wind died down on Wednesday. Thank God that we didn't have those east winds that were driving the humidity down and causing these fires to explode. But the reality is we still have some really big fires burning out there, and the smoke is still coming, and there's still lives and property in danger. So again, I just ask that you take a moment to stop and pray for Oregon, pray for this country, and let's continue to come together as a community. I was saying at the last segment that this reminds me a little bit of 9/11, how we come together after 9/11 19 years ago. And it was neat to see the entire country. You know, it didn't matter what neighborhood you looked down, you saw the American flags, and there was this sense of unity and patriotism, and people just loved each other. And I'm seeing that in certain communities here with these fires. I'm seeing the people that are willing to go out and help, no questions asked, and the compassion. And, you know, all the help that has been given this last week to the evacuees, it's all come from private citizens. And I was starting to tell you, a lot of the people that are helping, they don't have a lot to give themselves, but they're volunteering and they're giving everything that they have to give. And they're making crazy donations. And, you know, all the different evacuation centers, the state fairgrounds, the county fairgrounds, they have been inundated with donations, whether it's water or food for the animals. You know, I told you guys I do a little bit of hay farming, and I donated the rest of the hay that I had left to the state fairgrounds on Wednesday night. And, you know, that's a financial commitment. You know, that's money out of our pocket to do things like that. And we're taking it over there, and my boy was helping me unload that hay, and we're talking about it, and we're seeing all the people that are sitting there in lawn chairs and just kind of standing there at the fairgrounds, just kind of devastated. It was just surreal. You could tell the look on their face. They weren't sure what to do, what to think. They were still trying to process what was going on. And my son said, "Don't you have customers that you're going to sell this hay to? Why are you giving it away here?" And I said, "Because it's the right thing to do." And I'm not telling you that to, you know, make you think anything about me or my business. I'm telling you that that is the attitude that I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people have this week, the help and support that was given to these people that are in need right now. And that's the American way. And that's what makes us so great, the fact that we'll rally like that and we'll sacrifice to make sure that others are okay. And trust me, I'm not unique. This is what people were doing in all these communities, and people helping perfect strangers. And that was really inspiring. That was beautiful to see. And I thought it was a really great lesson for my son. And my son and daughter both has volunteered a lot this week helping out in these situations. One of the things that it made me think, though, is we're not hearing a lot from the people that really could help. You know, we talked about the governor, and we know she's a loser, right? We know that Kate Brown is inept, and she's just not capable of leading. And, you know, in her own devious, evil ways, she's probably really happy that Oregon is on fire right now. But, you know, you should never rely on government anyway. You know, we want government to be able to protect us on a national level. You know, we want to have a strong military. We want to have good border security. But we've been too reliant on government to do so much more for us. And I think this is a perfect example that when there's a disaster, the government's not going to be there. Oregon's government definitely was not there. It was the community that was there. It was your neighbor that was there. It was the stranger that you've never met before that lives 5 hours away that was there. And that is such an important lesson. We need to stop expecting government to do things. We need to count on the fact that the government will probably let us down every time we rely on them. We know that's true. We've seen it over and over and over again. We need to take personal responsibility, and we need to make sure that we are prepared for anything that we're going to face. And then we need to make sure that we have the attitude and the willingness to help our neighbors, to help our fellow citizens, even the strangers, even the people that we might not like. We need to go and help them if they need help. And that is the takeaway from all of this. You know what, though? I didn't see Nike. I didn't see Bill Gates. I didn't see George Soros. I didn't see any of them rolling up in semi-trucks with bottles of water or loads of hay. No, where are they? Where are they?
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow Patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here with you guys today. So, again, it's a smoky Saturday afternoon, and we're just chilling like a villain here, just trying to breathe a little bit. I hope you guys are taking precautions to make sure that you're protecting your lungs as much as you possibly can. Thank God we're all used to wearing masks right now, huh? Because I'm not going to lie, I was probably pretty glad that I had some extra masks in my vehicles this last week or so. If it wasn't for the COVID, I probably wouldn't have had those masks floating around in my vehicles. So the masks have come in a little bit handy. They're not perfect against the smoke, but they do give you a little bit of a barrier. They're not really going to protect your lungs, though. That's something to think about. Not just your typical cloth mask. You need to definitely purchase a better mask if you want any type of real protection from these particulates and the smoke and gases, whatever else might be out there. So I thought it was kind of funny. They warned us that these masks will not protect you from smoke, but then in the same breath, they tell us that we need to wear them from COVID, which the particulates from COVID are smaller than what the smoke is. So they're helpful in protecting us from this pandemic virus, but not helpful in protecting us from smoke. I'm not really sure what to believe there, but I think you guys kind of can read between the lines and figure out that it's all a bunch of BS. Okay. So we're out here and we're, you know, trying to get our community back on track, and we're trying to make sure that we got everybody's needs taken care of. And I keep relating what's happening today back to 9/11. And I know it's hard to draw that comparison, but I'm just talking about at the local levels, the response from the communities that I've seen on the way we band together. You know, 9/11 hopefully will never be forgotten in this country. You know, when we have 2,977 Americans that perished in one single tragic act of terrorism, an attack on our own soil, something that we've never had happen ever in the United States before. And it scarred us, and it made us unite and made us stronger for a time being. But I do fear that we've lost some of that. And when I see what's going on with the rioters and the disdain that people have for this country, and then I see what's going on with the crisis that we're having with these forest fires, you're not seeing the rioters or the Antifa people coming out to help these other communities that are in need. You're not seeing these rioters, these Antifa folks saying, you know what, we're going to hold off on protesting our cause right now, or rioting in the streets because there's people that are hurting and suffering that we should go offer our aid to. We should go try to help them. What I'm getting at is we now have a percentage of the population in the United States, my friends, that seemingly just doesn't give a damn about their fellow citizen. They just don't care about this country. And like I've told you before, somebody has trained this generation to hate the United States. And their hate is so deep, they won't lift a finger to help anybody that's suffering or anybody that's in need. The only thing they care about them is themselves and whatever cause of the week they're screaming about. But the reality is, what they care about is projecting their hate for this country. And ultimately, their end game, their goal is to try to make this republic collapse. Now, I don't understand it. It blows my mind, because we can look at other places in the world that are similar to what these people are trying to create. And if they want that so bad in this country, why don't they let us put them on a plane and fly them to some of these other places? If that is what you want, if chaos and anarchy and no government, no morals, no food, no law and order, if that is what you want, we can ship you places that have exactly that. Why are you so hell-bent on forcing this country to be like one of these other failed third world countries? Just go there if that's what you want. If that's what you're looking for, just go there. It's really dangerous what's happening right now. And it's sad. And on the heels of 9/11, celebrating our 19-year anniversary, I would have thought that more people would have reflected about things like that and maybe remembered that day and remembered the unity and remembered how we bounced back. But I do think people are forgetting. I think for sure a certain group of people have forgotten. And that's scary. That really scares me. That tells me that the system that they're being brought up in, whoever's teaching these kids to hate this country, they're gaining some serious ground. And so that goes back to, what do we do to fix the system that's created this mess? Because let me tell you, I'm not convinced. I believe that some of these fires that are going on out there, I do believe that there's a handful of them that are natural. You know, we kind of had the perfect storm with those east winds and the low humidity and the high temperatures and all the fuel from the forest mismanagement that the Democrats have allowed. we had the perfect storm for this event to take place. But to have all the fires that sparked up in all the various locations they did, we know for a fact that some of that was arson. We know there's been people that are in custody now in some of the counties that they committed these arsons. And it's yet to be determined if they were affiliated with a certain group, whether it was Antifa or something else. But I think we know. I think we know deep down that, you know, Antifa's been saying that they're going to go out to the rural communities and burn us down. They've been threatening that for 6 months. Why wouldn't they do that? They're destroying Portland. They're lighting buildings on fire in Portland every single day. Why wouldn't we believe that some of these fires could be these Antifa people? That'd be naive for us to dismiss that. But I see that happening. There's plenty of people that are quick to defend Antifa. How dare you say that? Stop spreading these rumors. There's no evidence whatsoever that these fires were sparked by Antifa. Well, I don't know. It's not that unbelievable. They've told us they're going to do that. We've watched them start fires elsewhere. Why do we think that they're not out there starting these fires? I'm telling you, we need to be vigilant, my friends, as a community. We need to be watchful and we need to be willing to protect our community, protect our property, whatever it takes. Because we've got these bad actors in society now that have no boundaries. And I believe they are responsible for some of the destruction that's happened to this state because of these forest fires. You won't convince me otherwise. Now, like I said, I'm not claiming that it's all the fires. I'm not claiming that they started it, that this was their plan. I think they're opportunists and they were seeing what was happening. And they thought they could jump on this bandwagon. They thought that okay, here's our perfect out. Here's something that we can do really easy and maybe not get caught for it. But look at all the destruction and devastation that it's going to cause. And there's been Antifa groups across the country that have talked about what's happening here in Oregon, and they've taken credit for it. They're saying that this was all part of the plan and that it was Antifa that lit up some of these fires. I'm hoping that these people get caught. I'm hoping that there's thorough investigations and these people, they've killed, these fires have killed people. If these are really being lit by Antifa members, they're responsible for murder. And so hopefully they'll get charged to the fullest extent of the law. And like I said, they better hope that the law finds them before some good old boys do, because if that happens, the law will never find them. You and I both know that's true. People are fed up with what's happening. So they're being instructed, though. There is big pockets funding these groups. And the people that have been caught, many of them have already been bailed out. Where are they getting their money to be bailed out? Some of these arsonists that have been caught have been put out on bail for $50,000. That means it takes $5,000 to get them out of jail. And they're coming out. We need to start tracking those funds. Who's giving these people the money to get out of jail? Well, I'll tell you, somebody I know for a fact that has bailed people out, Kamala Harris. Yeah. The VP candidate, old sleepy Joe Biden's VP, Kamala Harris, has been bailing out some of these anarchists, some of these Antifa members. She's proud of them. Is that who you want for a vice president? And you know, if she gets there, she's going to be the president, because Joe Biden's incompetent. He's got health issues. He's not going to make it. You and I both know that. The guy cannot put two words together, let alone run a country. Stick with me, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here with you guys. We are on the tail end of the show. We've been spending a lot of time talking about these forest fires and really just my view on society and the way some of our society has gone out of its way to help each other and how neat it is. And how that was reminding me of the response that the entire country had after 9/11. And, you know, coming on the tail end of 9/11 right now and our 19-year anniversary of that tragic, tragic day, these forest fires in Oregon have made me think a lot about unity and Americans coming together and uniting when we need to. And then I was talking about how there is a little bit, you know, something different going on right now. There's definitely a group of people that just hate this country so much that even in the wake of tragedy like this, they're not willing to unite. They're not willing to stop their chaos or anarchy or whatever it is that they're up to help their fellow citizens or their fellow human beings get through these times that people's lives are being destroyed. And I don't ever recall something like that happening in this country again. When I look at history, it seems like every time there's disasters, whether it's fires or tornadoes or floods or hurricanes or wars, it seems like the country as a whole pretty much has banded together. You know, before World War I, we had a lot of chaos in this country. A lot of people don't know this, but, you know, places like Chicago were being torn apart. And there was a lot of gang activity and just complete anarchy in the streets. And, you know, I don't know exactly even what the cause was, but what we're seeing right now isn't the first time that we've seen trouble in this country. But when we had World War I, the country united, it band together. World War II, the entire country band together. And that trouble, it just kind of worked itself out. That riffraff was more concerned about saving this country and protecting the United States, defending this republic, than whatever the issues were that they were creating the trouble about prior to that. So it was different. Right now we're seeing tragedy happen, and like I said, we've got a group of citizens that they just don't care. They're only out for themselves, and I've never seen or read about that in our history before. It's just kind of eye-opening, and while I've said that I've seen some of the best of humanity and, you know, that group of people that definitely has done everything they can to help people in their time of need, I've also really had my eyes open to that group of people that just doesn't care. And so the question is, what are we going to do about that as a society? You know, how do we fix that? It's just really crazy. And it's a problem that we're going to have to address. We definitely cannot keep ignoring it. I'm hoping that these fires are going to open up a lot of eyes here in Oregon. And it's definitely an uphill battle, but people got to be sick of what's going on here and sick of the leadership, the lack of response from the leadership. And so hopefully that the Republicans, the conservatives in Oregon, hopefully will do a little bit better in the upcoming elections and maybe we can win some extra seats. It is so crucial that we get the supermajority away from the Democrats. Nothing stops them as long as they have that supermajority. They can do whatever they want. And I guarantee you, under their control, the state is going to keep sinking. We know that's true. So these elections are so important. I was wondering, with these fires that are taking place, and you have a lot of rural communities that have been affected by this, I'd say the majority of the communities that have been affected by this, I'd say the majority of those voters are probably the conservative voters. I bet the majority of them are registered Republicans, knowing the locations that have been burnt. And I was wondering, how is that going to affect the elections? you have all these people that their towns have been burnt. They don't have mailboxes. They're displaced. We don't even know where they're at right now. They're dealing with tragedy like they've never dealt with before. Are they even going to really be in the mindset? Are they even going to be thinking about voting? Or is this something that's just going to space a lot of them because they're trying to salvage their life? They're trying to rebuild their home. They're trying to save their business. They don't have a place where they're getting their mail right now. And, you know, we're talking about all this mail-in ballot stuff. How does the government even know where to mail these ballots for these people? I think this is going to have an impact on the number of people that actually vote. It's actually really scary. And like I said, knowing the areas that got devastated, I believe that they're more of your conservative communities in the state of Oregon. And, you know, think about this. Out of the entire state of Oregon, 10% of the population had to evacuate. That's huge. 10% of Oregon's population had to evacuate from these fires. Now, not all 10% have lost their homes. A lot of those people will be able to go back and have their homes once they get all clear. But we have lost thousands of homes. And I was just curious, where do these people go vote? How are they going to get the mail to vote? How are they going to get their ballot in the mail? I'm just wondering what's happening. In fact, in some of these communities, their post offices have been burnt down. And the county office, the election office, where they actually count the votes and send out the ballots and handle all the election process, some of those election offices are gone as well. So how is this going to affect the November elections? Just interesting. I don't know how it's going to affect it. I hope it doesn't affect it, but it's definitely put another challenge on this. And, you know, again, like President Trump has been saying, if we did away with the mail-in voting and we had polls and people had to go to the polls and cast their ballot, I think that would solve a lot of their problem. And maybe this disaster is what we needed to acknowledge that mail-in voting is not perfect and we should have to go to the polls. And that's the best way to get around this issue and prevent any type of fraud that could possibly happen also. Something to think about. Speaking of President Trump, I did want to talk about this before we closed out the show tonight. Been nominated now for another Nobel Peace Prize. And man, this president, he's just absolutely on fire with what he's doing on his foreign policy. And I think it's just funny because, you know, when he was elected, this was the man that they claimed would start the next world war. This is the man that they said had no foreign policy whatsoever, had no skills, had no business negotiating or meddling in the United States foreign policy. This is the man that they claim has made a mockery of America, that he's made all our allies laugh at us and our enemies more bolden. And this man in 4 years has done more than any president in the last century when it comes to peace negotiations and putting the entire world on a better path. Now we can talk about Iran. We don't talk about Iran anymore. Relatively calm there. Much less of a threat today than they were 4 years ago under the Obama administration. North Korea, you know, not everything's always going the way you hoped for, but North Korea is not shooting any rockets right now, are they? And for the first time, we had a president willing to reach out his arm, shake a hand, and try for some peace negotiations. You can't just keep ignoring a problem and think it's going to go away. And that's been the mentality of how we deal with Korea for the last, you know, what, 50, 60 years? At least President Trump has tried to build a relationship. Now, a lot of people were mad because, you know, Korea's, you know, a bad person, a bad country. They've committed horrible atrocities. But you have to start the conversation somewhere. And now, Trump's got a deal between Iran and Israel to normalize relations. He has created more opportunity for peace than any president in a century. This man deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's give it to him. All right, folks, thanks for joining us here on Patriot Uprising Radio. We'll be right back next Saturday, so make sure you tune in, and we will catch you then. Stay vigilant, my friends. God bless you.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.